Please be seated, and Bruce will share our gospel reading.
One thing did cross my mind during the children's sermon. If you want to look it up online, look up a map of the size of Africa, and you can fit the United States, China, India, and several European countries on that continent. It is huge. And the reason it doesn't look huge on our globes is because our globes were done by the Western culture. And we're more important, so our place is bigger. So, now to the scripture. Mark 1, 29 to 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed by demons, and the whole city gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." Jesus answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." And he went throughout all Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons.
Thank you, Bruce. So, a few thoughts. First, I want to thank the Bible study group from Tuesday night. We had a good discussion about this passage, and I invite you to join us. We're meeting again this week, because last week was a fifth Tuesday. So, we usually do first and third, but we did an extra. And so, you could join us again this week. We usually discuss the text for the upcoming Sunday, which I think we all find very meaningful, and I know it helps me a lot. But it's always a rich conversation. So just two or three points I'd like to raise from this and let you think about. In this first chapter of Mark, we're seeing the writer sort of inviting us to understand Jesus' ministry. And there's that key passage we talked about a couple weeks ago where he calls his first disciples to follow him, to become a part of his ministry. And we are still, 2,000 years later, continuing to be invited to follow him and become a part of Christ's ministry in the world. And so these early stories are helping us understand what his ministry was, what it was like. And this little reading has so many pieces of that in it. We've seen in last week's reading that Jesus did his first healing in Mark in the public at the synagogue. Here we see Jesus doing a healing in a private home, the home of Simon and Andrew. He heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law, who's sick with the fever. We think, oh, a fever, take a Tylenol. But think about it, that day and age, no Tylenol, no antibiotics, no way to diagnose the source of the fever. Fevers could be quite deadly. Literally life-threatening. And they could also be infectious, and there was no protection against that. And yet Jesus goes into her, takes her by the hand. He didn't worry about infections, ever, and lifted her up. And then we're a little bothered because she immediately began to serve them, right? I mean, I know, we all go, what the deal is that? Commentators have different takes on it. One of them, I think, I guess I would go for is simply that it's proof that she was truly well, right? She didn't just have to lay around and say, well, okay, the fever's gone, but I still feel horrible. She was truly well, and that she then went about doing what she did, who she was. And we all know, some of us are these kind of women who, if there's people in your home, of course you're going to get up and serve them. And of course, it also, it did strike me Tuesday night that this was Sabbath, so the food would have already been cooked. It was a matter of putting it on the table. So, but I read a funny commentator who said, why didn't Simon just make sandwiches and tell her mom, you can rest this one out? So, okay. It was the first century Palestine after all. And then, but the word had gotten out, right? The word had gotten out of what had happened in the synagogue, that he had healed this man who had an unclean spirit. Again, however we understand that. And so as soon as Sabbath was over, Simon's house was mobbed. Everybody in the city bringing people who were sick, beaming people that they believed had these spirits. And he began to heal and to heal and to heal. And then there's this line that runs throughout Mark. He would not permit them to speak. There's this theme in Mark about Jesus kind of trying to keep it quiet. They call it the messianic secret, but he would heal somebody and say, don't tell anybody. And they keep telling people. But at the same time, and we really talked a bit Tuesday night, well, what's that about? And it strikes me, especially in this reading, that it seems like a big piece of what that's about was that Jesus' purpose was not just to spend his time 24/7 healing people. He had a message to proclaim. He was trying to help people come into a new understanding of God and God's kingdom, God's realm, God's consciousness. And he could have spent every moment of every single day doing nothing but healing people. And so he lived in this tension. He had the heart of God, and God is loving and compassionate and caring. And God's good news can't just be a head thing. Right? It can't just be, oh, I'm going to help you feel better, but who cares that you're sick? So he lived in that tension of responding with compassion to the suffering and physical needs that he saw constantly, and yet trying to focus on this larger message that he was trying to share. Struck me yesterday afternoon, I was walking the dogs and the sun had finally come out, right? The sun finally came out yesterday. It feels like we've been in a lot of gray. And the thought that came to me about Jesus's message of God's realm, God's kingdom, God's consciousness, somehow connected to me to that awareness. You know, the sun's been there every single day that it's been gray. Right? It gets light in the morning, it gets dark at night. The light of the sun is still helping us live, feeding the, you know, nourishing the plants, all those good things. And yet, how much of the time when it's gray, all I see is the gray? And somehow that metaphor really struck me yesterday. God's realm, God's consciousness, that Jesus was trying to help us tune into, be aware of, wake up to. Somehow it's kind of like that. It's that sun that's always there, but how much of my life do I spend only seeing the clouds and the gray? And then there's just this theme of Jesus being moved by compassion to heal. And in Hebrew, the word for compassion, its root is womb. So compassion, in Jewish thinking of that time, comes from down here. You know, in wisdom teaching, we've learned, some of us, the notion of three centers of knowing. You know in your mind, you know in your heart, and you know in your body center, your moving center. Compassion comes from not from feeling. It comes out of the moving center. The bowels, the womb, right? And when we are moved with compassion, we want to act. We want to do something. We don't just feel it in our hearts or think it in our minds. It's an integrating of all of who we are. And so Jesus was, again and again, we feel he was moved with compassion. Sometimes he even gets a bit, one of the words is sometimes angry or indignant in his being moved with compassion. That there's a sense, this isn't right. I got to do something. So he did heal. He healed many people, but he did not heal everyone. That was not, in a way, that was not the prime thing of what he was doing. Because we see then that there's all these people that come, and then he heals many, and then when they finally all go, he sends them home, and he gets up early and he goes off to pray. I believe discerning, praying, okay, God, how am I supposed to deal with this? Still figuring out his mission and living, how am I going to live in this tension between the power I have to heal and the compassion that I feel and want to show that you, God, are compassion, and yet this larger message that is more than just healing physical suffering. And his disciple, and again, and the other thing you see throughout the Gospels is this movement in Jesus' personal life between contemplation and prayer and action. And that we are called to live in that as well. The monks call it ora labora, labor and worship, contemplation and action. That those of us who get caught up in just being all the activists burn out, and those of us who are only into the contemplative tend to kind of just float off. You know what I'm saying? It's a paradox. It's a tension to live into in our life and faith, a back and forth, a rhythm. Jesus needed that time away, that prayer, that discernment, that nurturing of him and his energy, and to get the clarity, what am I supposed to do? So the disciples come saying, oh, there's all these more people looking for you. They want to be healed. And he's like, this isn't all I'm about. Let's go on somewhere else. Let's keep spreading the good news. Let's not just caught up and descending. I could sit all day here in Capernaum and be the healer. But that's not all I'm about. And he proclaimed the message of God's love, the message of that consciousness that there's more than just the clouds, the message that we're all called to live, love God with all of who you are, and love your neighbor as yourself. Compassion and the seeking of the Spirit. The rhythm, the movement of that.